And welcome to a special This Week on Channel 9. It's our Halloween episode. And here with us is... I'm Dan Fernandez, and you are...
What about the gargoyle?
Have you named your gargoyle?
Igwe.
Igwe?
Yes.
Okay.
My name is Osley Bilgin.
And what would you say you do here?
I am here to talk about some interesting things this week. And normally what I do is I'm an evangelist based in New York City.
But
until tomorrow.
You're moving?
To?
Dubai.
Dubai. Middle
yes.
East. Yeah. So tomorrow's my last day as an evangelist. And be doing something a little different over there.
So now you just recently started a web property.
I did. I started a web property called slingalibi.com.
Which is an anagram for Osley Bilgin.
How did you know?
Because you told me.
He's good. So yeah, I started a website. It has a bunch of different series that you can see on the right-hand side.
All right.
A lot of them are focused to women technologists and the resources for women that are looking to get into the software industry. And it did focus on New York City because that's where I did live. So I guess it might be focusing a little bit more on Dubai going forward. But it also has tips and tricks on how you can build a web property as gorgeous and phenomenal as this.
Yeah, what blog engine are you using for this?
Blogengine.net.
Okay, all right.
It's all .net. All .net. And I actually, if you look at this series behind the scenes at slingalibi.com, I talk about exactly how I put it up because it's my first web property that of this magnitude and all .net backend, and I tell you how to do it. All
cool.
of it. And
awesome.
Yeah, search engine optimization, social networking optimization, all the tips and tricks.
What do you think of blogengine.net? Good?
It's so easy.
Okay.
Really easy. Good. They did a really, really good job.
So now one of the things is your old team now, I should say, is the East Region. You guys had just recently put up a portal on Channel 9.
We did.
And kind of, what's the scoop of this thing?
So the entire East Region put up an MSDN and TechNet resource portal. It aggregates all the blogs of all the evangelists at Microsoft, and we talk about all the events going on in East Region. So it's like a one-stop shop to find out what's happening in terms of latest releases, events, community road shows. And then we also have a site on Channel 9 that allows you to download any of the presentations and code that we've shown in any of our road shows. We have pretty much every major city covered in the East Region, and if you can't go to a major city, you can download the content.
All right, cool stuff. And, a lot, we're going to talk about some of these guys, but these are guys that have been posting stuff, like Dev to Dev series, Joe Healy.
Yep.
That are regular Channel 9 posters.
That's right.
Speaking of community events, this is, let's see if I get this right, communitymegaphone.com.
Communitymegaphone.com, written by one of our evangelists, Andrew Duthie, and they call him the Dev Hammer. That's his, handle. And what this is if anyone has a developer event related to Microsoft technology, they go to Community Megaphone and add it. There's an add event gadget, and it aggregates events. You can see there's Texas, Georgia, Virginia all pulled together. You can filter by your own state. You can filter by an event type if you want to be IT pro, developer, etc. And then you can add a gadget. There's a gadget that's been created that you can add a gadget to your website. And if you want to, instead of blogging by hand, you can actually use the gadget to kind of do a pull on all the events that are going on.
Okay, so goal here is, you're in Seattle. You want to find out what events are going in Seattle. This gives you your personal calendar.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Yep, you can click on a button, add to Outlook.
There really should be one place for all developer stuff, because there's Microsoft stuff, there's community stuff, and there isn't one central place. And each of these different event sites has their own. So
now we have it. Ta-da!
I know, but got to make sure everybody's using it.
Yes, that's true.
And speaking of, his handle on when we were playing Halo in the first days is Seeker. Yes.
Seeker.
Yeah, it was me, Rob Howard, and Andrew Duthie playing Halo back in the day. But
hi, Rob.
This is Visual Studio Gadget. So Countdown,
yes.
This is Silverlight, right?
Yes. He wrote this. He took a component that Josh Holmes wrote, Andrew did, and did it for Visual Studio Countdown.
Okay.
Clock. You can put it on your website. The code is right available from his website to download. And how many days do we have left?
143 days, 9 hours, and 45 seconds. It should be good. Definitely looking forward to this. Awesome. Cool. And right. I'm assuming we can steal the code.
So, yes, absolutely. And can you tell some of the features that we can
see?
Well,
now that we only have 143 days left, I really should try and sell used cars with this coat, which is incredibly tight and borrowed from Clint Ruckus. This is a feature in Visual Studio. This is the call hierarchy.
That's
so,
right.
So you want to talk about this.
Yeah, let's talk about call hierarchy. So, today...
It's from Scott Guthrie's blog.
Yeah.
Which is
okay.
Call out.
Yes, okay. Scott Guthrie's blog has more details on this. Actually, I wrote about this, too, on my blog as well.
Mm.
I did. Scott or me, you decide. Anyway, so call hierarchy. So today, in today's world, in Visual Studio 2008, if you want to find out kind of like a stack of all the calls that have been going on, how do you do it?
You normally F5 and then do a stack, but I want to know what's going to be called and what's calling.
Yes.
And
to calls
no
to
and easy, exactly.
Yeah, you can do the debugger, you can pause it, and then you can try to like walk through the stack, but you have to hit F5, you have to run it.
Exactly.
So what if you want to do this without having to run your code and just take a quick peek? So this new window, call hierarchy, allows you to basically right-click, view call hierarchy, and you can see all the calls to a method and all the calls coming out of a method. And you
from keep, a method, yeah.
Yeah, you can keep drilling on deeper totally. And deeper and deeper. And you want to hear a secret special tip?
All right, so you told me this already, but so lay it on us.
So normally, if you use it by default and you click on it, it basically bounces you around to all the different code files for that method. So like this one, render view, you click on it, and then it opens up the code file associated to it. Well, if you're doing this a lot, it's going to open up a lot of windows, right? And it's going to jump you around, and you might lose your original spot in the code. So a way around that that's kind of clever is there's a code definition window that you can open. Just say, you know, view code.
View code definition window.
Yes. He's good. I'm telling you.
That's all I do.
Yeah. And then instead of jumping around the actual source, you'll be jumping around kind of like an abstraction of it and be able to look at all the windows in a single pane versus jumping around from file to file. So it's a good tip.
Cool.
Yeah, good feature.
Another feature that's really handy is the highlighted reference. So what this allows you to do is, you know, I build a variable. It's used, like, say, 10 times within code underneath. What this allows me to do is when I have that variable selected, it lets me visually see all the references. Now, it uses, you know, the same engine that the compiler and the refactoring engine use. So you can make sure that, let's say, I'm selecting a variable named X. If there's different contexts within X, like within a different namespace, or maybe it's in within a different loop, it knows exactly which X I'm referring to. So I don't have to worry about, like, it's highlighting all X's. It's only highlighting the one in the actual
X's,
usage.
Talking about X's, highlighting X. Who wants to highlight X's?
Well, so you have a variable named, you know, X equals 1, and you're like, well... Shut like, up! It's my favorite feature!
I was talking like X's, you know, like X, my X.
Oh, my...
Get it? Little slow on your humor. I don't know, but he's good with, you know, picking up.
Yeah, I don't
okay.
talk to girls.
It's not yours. And the dress, we got to help you a little bit with the frilly shirt. I don't know.
It's very warm, actually.
Well, it looks lovely. Pink suits you.
Indeed. So this is another post by Scott Guthrie on giving kind of the, think about this as like the overview of what's the big stuff coming in Windows Presentation Foundation for Visual Studio 2010 and .NET Framework 4.
Okay.
So he goes everything from one of the things that Visual Studio is using called cache composition. What it does is, imagine taking like one part, rather than continually re-rendering a bunch of trees, it lets you actually take a bitmap image and say, I want you to cache this thing. I know it's not going to change. Like maybe it's the toolbox, for example, and that way you can have a cache of something so it's not continuously re-rendering a child
for performance.
With a bunch of elements. Yeah. Massive performance increases and definitely something that Visual Studio has been using. Things for animation were easing, where you're doing slower animation and then faster, then back slower. And a bunch of Windows 7 features, which we'll actually drill into a couple, including, actually before we get to the Win 7 stuff, is this is Pete Brown talking about the WPF calendar control.
Calendar controls.
Yeah.
Why would we need those?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So this used to be in the WPF toolkit. Now it ships directly in the box, baby. Pete's, I like this because Pete actually does a bunch of examples for how to do stuff, like how to do a multi-selection. I want to select the whole week, or, you know, I'm an airline. I want to have blackout dates where you can't actually book something.
I like that blackout date.
So, and everything is declarative, right? So it's literally calendar.blackoutdates and then calendar date range start end. So, very, very cool stuff. To play with, and a great way to sort of intro the XAML and just visually see the XAML for calendar control.
Nice.
And kudos to Pete for joining Microsoft.
Good job. Oh, yeah, welcome, Pete.
Now, another thing on media side is Giovanni's friend Brian Peek had done a walkthrough with Jeremiah Morrill on the WPF Media Kit.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremiah's got some cool stuff. Actually, I can't talk about it, but you'll hear.
No, you have to talk about
it. No, I really can't.
You can't just bring it up. And
I know that's why this is awkward. But this is a Coding for Fun show. Brian Peek walks through the WPF Media Kit, how he can actually play. It does a number of things that developers would have to use DirectShow for. So rather than having to use DirectShow and Crazy C++, it does it all as WPF and XAML. So it's one line of code, for example, to add a webcam directly to your project. So if you're looking for direct show-like features, check out the WPF Media Kit. It's available on CodePlex.
What about playing straight from like a DVD or something?
Straight from a DVD, rather than having to worry about, you know, all that stuff, you get it directly.
One line of code. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's very cool. So this is one of the Win7 features.
What's Jump List?
Yes, so Jump List is... what it allows you to do in Windows 7 is build... so we've talked about Jump List before. This is the integration of Jump List directly into WPF.
Nice.
But it allows you to build a list of items or actions for your application. So I may want to spin up something, tell it to launch Notepad, tell it to pass in specific variables. And you see a number of applications. In fact, Scott Hanselman had blogged about applications that are lighting up with Windows 7. One example being like WinZip, where it now has a jump list with the key actions you want to do. I want to, you know, start a new zip, open a zip, et cetera, et cetera. So point is, it's like just a couple lines of code to add stuff to a jump list API.
So you can actually like open up applications, do certain tasks.
Yeah,
so really
for
easy.
Outlook, it's like start a new email, start That's a new calendar appointment, you know.
So you can program against that. What's that, the jump list library?
Yeah, it's built directly into WPF.
Nice. That's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's another feature I could tell you about.
So what's this?
This is Trigger Start Services. Basically, you know there's Windows services that run in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And usually you have a couple options. You have automatic, you have manual, or it's not started at all. But once it starts. It's on all the time.
It's on all the time.
Well, this is the deal. So Windows 7 is the first operating system to use less resources, memory, power, battery, than any other preceding operating system. So it's like much
less.
Look
at you. You should be in this. Yeah. The number one operating system.
It's true. It uses
it slices.
But no, think green. Think green. Think electricity. Right?
Okay.
So this is another thing that saves electricity, right? We're going to be green.
Sure.
Even though you're pink.
I know.
But that's okay.
I'm just from the 70s.
It's just, you know, it's your look, your thing. I like your hair. But Trigger Start Services, basically, these are services that won't start unless they have a...
Trigger Start.
Trigger.
Okay.
Trigger.
So, what's a trigger?
For example, let's say I have something that's going to do something interesting with my USB port. Like if I put a, you know...
I want to copy everything that, you know, when somebody puts in the USB
exactly.
thing.
Exactly.
So I want to copy all their files so they won't see that I'm stealing their documents.
Yeah, stealing their documents and their ideas, you know, and
yes.
their personal photos to, you know, put on Facebook. So if you want to do that, but you don't want to run that all the time and waste battery life.
Exactly.
You can actually trigger start it. So as soon as someone sticks that USB key, didn't that USB key?
Yeah, actually, we really did borrow a USB key. That
that was a long time ago. Where,
okay.
What city was that?
Tech Ed Europe, maybe Barcelona or Amsterdam.
One of the Amsterdam.
I had an epic fail on a Java session. And my C sharp, it was a C sharp session. That decided to
explode.
In a virtual PC, and I had to run everything off Express. It was terrible.
But last minute. But you got the lucky key.
Yes.
So that
and
same key.
And my next session went great.
So if you were using Trigger Start, when you plugged in that key, That's when the services would start to copy. Yeah. You got the photos that came on that key, too.
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm glad you didn't expose me.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's Trigger Start. So it's,
I just don't know why you needed, well.
Later. More on that
yes.
later.
Yes. And speaking of fun window services, touch, this is Joe Healy talking about. Now, Windows 7, the multi-touch capability is another thing that is added to WPF, so people can play with this stuff. And I personally haven't seen this video. Have you seen this video?
Yeah, so basically he takes, there's the HP Touch Smart Computer, mm-hmm. and shows, like, so it's really changing the paradigm of how you design. I love saying that word. People hate it.
Paradigm.
But, you know, doing two-finger touch and programming against it. So he gives examples on how to take advantage of that using the Windows 7 touch capabilities and programming with that API. So it's very cool stuff. And but, you know, you'll have to get the Windows 7 touch pack on your machine in order to allow kind of that multi-touch where you, like, flick things or you shrink things with two fingers.
The gestures, sure.
The gestures. And then the painting, like in Windows Paint. It's
so
fun.
It's so much fun.
Together.
It really is.
Oh, you can take pink and I can do it in blue.
I love that. Great.
Yeah, it'd be so great. It's a really great way to, you know, bond and connect with people.
Yeah, I love that. I'm pink for life. Great.
It's beautiful. Pink and baby blue.
I know. It's gorgeous.
Yeah. What's this?
Okay. So, Downtown Framework 4, this is another one of those really nice to have features. Although, frankly, it could have been an easy extension method. But the goal here is the string type now has a method called isNull or whitespace. Mm. So, people are probably used to isNull or empty, I believe it is, for a string. This allows you to whether check, and the example here is we have a white space string, lets you check if something is null, as well as check if something is has white space. And white space can be a tab, a carriage return, or a new line, or just a blank space. Mm. Right? So that way, if it does have any of those things, boom, it it'll return true.
Yeah, very good.
Simple, but chances are you're going to want to use it.
So let's talk about some web stuff. We want to talk about some web stuff?
Yes. So this is Sarah Chips.
Yeah, a new MVP.
What kind of MVP?
A female one.
No, I mean like what product?
She does a lot on ASP.NET.
Is it ASP.NET MVP?
Is that, yeah.
Oh,
that,
you don't know. Yeah. Okay. It's okay. She's an MVP,
she's
right?
She's an MVP and that's all that matters. That's all that matters. Okay. Anyway, so she... just released. This happened last week. I went to her launch event. We did it at, you know what Newark City is? Not New York City. Newark City is basically a co-working space. They allow you to come in, and if you're working from home and bored and lonely and kind of forget what fashion is, you can actually hang out with people and work together. It's like $25 a day or whatever.
Oh, that's
they give
cool.
you a little office. You hang out there. And Mayor Bloomberg liked it so much that they actually, the Newark people are the advisors to the city of New York on for people that are underemployed or unemployed to be, you know, working there. So she launched this there at the anniversary party for Newark City, and this is called Bundle It, okay? So what this does is, you know, like, let's say you're tweeting on something, and it's actually two or three URLs that you want to tweet about.
Here's my five-part series on Silverlight.
Yes, exactly. Boom. So normally what you do today is just have to put the first link and then hope that people would kind of daisy chain, you know, with the other one. So she allows you to bundle multiple URLs together. So for your blog posts, for tweeting, Bundle It is kind of the software they use on .NET.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Very cool. What's this?
So this is our friend Phil Hack. Now, one of the things he has is, and he had this before, and I don't think I knew about it or had forgotten about it, but it's ASP.NET web server here. So people, I use the Visual Studio command line here shell extension. Yeah. This extends File Explorer. I right-click on a folder, and it'll open a VS command prompt there. This is the same thing for web servers, where you want to open up, say, your local host to that specific folder as like an application. Right?
So I can like browse like a website directly from my file. That's nice.
Exactly. Right click rather than having to type in the exact deep path. Okay. I can open up a web server directly there. Now he's built another one which is just updating to use ASP.NET 4. So
good job,
it's available. You'll see the shell extension and you can of course play
with
it.
You can just download it from his site?
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes. Simple and easy. Now, what's this?
So let's talk about cloud. You know the cloud.
Yes, I've heard rumors of this cloud.
Is that homage to the cloud? The cloud. Okay, so we know this cloud. What is this? What's this all about? My colleague Peter and a fellow named Dimitri put together the Connected Show, which is basically a podcast that brings in different people. Like in the first 15 minutes, they kind of do what we're doing, is just give a little recap on what's what and what's new. Mm-hmm. And then like for 45
minutes. They make fun of each other's clothes? Yeah, I got it.
No. Where are you getting that from?
I don't know.
I love your outfit.
Yes, of course.
Really?
It's fabulous.
But they talk about cloud.
Yes.
They talk about .NET interoperability with PHP, with Java, and, pretty much they release different episodes based on those themes. And, again, just you can just go to the website and take a look at it. It's good stuff.
Now, speaking of cloud, this is Dr. Z.
Dr. Z.
So I actually used to work out of DC,
mm-hmm.
and I think I worked with Dr. Z.
Dr.
Back
Z.
In the day, yeah.
And so, how'd that go?
It was good. He knew. I almost said he knew stuff.
He knows stuff.
He knew his stuff.
Yeah. Oh, I like stuff. there's an episode from The Simpsons. You should have picked that up.
Of course I do.
Yeah, you remember that
I choose you.
Oh my gosh, you remember
it. Are you kidding
me? Yes. Yeah, I want to be yours.
You like stuff?
Yeah,
that's how I pick up.
That was the best episode.
The ladies, especially in this clothing.
I'm not gay, but I'm willing to try. I'm married to the sea. Let's be friends. You know that? The same episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Not as good as the Bigger Brother one, though.
We really got to get back to
Dr. All right, so anyway, this... Don't rush me.
Okay.
Just go slow. So this...
Because we were going to go on and talk about our favorite Simpsons episodes.
So this is the show called ArcCast.tv. Bob Familiar, another evangelist in the East region, a really nice guy, and he can play the piano really, really well. Bob Familiar.
Okay.
Anyway, he does this show, and this week he talks about cloud. But you know how we always talk about how do I do this, how do I do that? Well, we could talk about more why do I, how do I. And it's targeted more at like a CXO business value of cloud, so it's a really good episode to watch. And it's Dr. Z.
Okay, yeah.
Who knows stuff.
Yeah, so now what is this? This is all about startups, right?
Yeah, so one of the things that my organization is really trying to do more of this year is workforce development, something that we call local software economy. So helping startups, helping non-for-profits, any audience that's kind of like underserved, like women and children, that we're not really giving them maybe the resources that they could use to be developers. So Bonnie Hopper, a good friend of mine, New Yorker, started this startup that's actually a startup for startups.
Okay.
Startup One Stop, or SOS, you get it, SOS. And it's a place that if you're a startup and you're doing development work or tech work, that you can go here, sign up, and you get resources, like BizSpark, for example, or BizSpark. So you get free tools, free Microsoft development tools on being able to get your company up and going, and more resources beyond that, like whether it's connections or whether it's software.
Writing a business plan.
Yeah, writing a business plan, exactly.
What is your startup
getting
goals?
A lawyer because you stole someone's content off a USB thing with a trigger search service.
You can't prove that. You cannot prove that.
So this is Startup One Stop.
Cool. Now, I've heard of Geek Dinner and a lot of, Nerd Dinner, which is a classic ASP.NET app, and this is Girl Geek Dinner. Now, is that using the actual same code base? Are these related to Nerd Dinners?
So, similar in concept, but different.
Okay.
In so many ways.
Okay.
But one thing I have to say, that when I'm talking about some of this women in tech stuff, it's not just for women, like men are also welcome, and in fact I would encourage each woman that attends these events to bring a guy with them, because it's like, again, about diversity, mm-hmm. It's not exclusive, but these are basically dinners, they're not really dinners actually, they're more like presentations that are given with dinner around you, but it's more, like they had it at McKinsey.
Is there food?
There is food. There's food, but you're actually listening to really, really successful people talk about some of the stuff they did. The one I went to in New York, Etsy.com. You know Etsy.com?
I have heard of them.
Yeah, it's like the eBay, but for artists. Everything has to be done by hand. Mm. So they talked about their website, how they got the social networking involved. It was really, really fascinating conversations and really good networking. So it's a global organization, not just New York. So it's like London, I think Bangalore. And so
you're starting the Dubai chapter, of course.
I am going to start the Dubai chapter, you guys. I am. So, yeah, there is not a Dubai chapter yet.
Okay.
Until next month. But anyway, it's really, really good opportunity to learn some really cool things about how technology is being used either by female development shops or how technology is targeted to a more female audience. And
sure.
We don't have enough, we have all these shoot'em games, but we don't have enough, you know, stuff for women. So more of that.
Gotta love that.
Yeah.
And speaking of which, this is Girls in Tech. Now, you've been involved in this, and Microsoft is sponsoring this?
Yeah,
or?
Microsoft sponsors. I actually, disclaimer, I'm sit on the board for Girls in Tech.
Really, this is just a big infomercial for you.
It is
really
an infomercial, but wait, there's more. You get steak nights. We didn't talk about the steak night. Yes. So with Girls in Tech, Tommy Jenkins, she runs a New York chapter. And again, this is another global organization. I might be making up the numbers, but I think it's like 6,000, I'll say thousands and thousands of members, multiple okay. chapters online, in different cities. And they have this online calendar that you can use to look at events. And it's about leadership, how to become, if you're an entrepreneur, how to become a better entrepreneur, how to use networks, how to attend these conferences. They have one in San Francisco in January coming up that allows you to basically build your skills in technology as a woman. So it's really, really good organization, and we do a lot of work with them. In fact, one of my colleagues, Lynn Langan, I think you know Lynn.
Yeah, we're talking about Lynn in just a little.
When I had to be in Dubai last month, she came over from Los Angeles and she delivered the keynote at the last...
awesome.
Yeah, she talked about mobility and some of the new stuff that we had coming out that week. So okay. It was good. Yeah, really good stuff. And speaking of...
Yeah, exactly.
Lynn.
So this is how you take your skills after learning small basic, right?
Yeah, well, so yes, and it's also targeting now, we talked about...
And maybe
about,
the meta point is we don't do enough for kids.
Yes. That's the third time. Really, really good. I feel like,
stealing your thunder.
No, I feel like you complete me.
Oh, thank you.
You do. And my sentences, I love
choose,
it.
I choose.
Yeah, this is that Valentine's episode.
Yeah, this is the Valentine's episode.
Little did we know. So Lynn really is doing a lot of work in working with kids because, you know, kids can program.
I know.
They can program.
I know.
Better than me.
Probably.
Yeah. Hey. At least he's not making fun of my outfit. Nice frills. Did you just show the frills?
These are hot. These are awesome.
Yeah, like you shoot the cuffs with them.
I'm trying not to, like, rip out of this thing like...
Incredible
like,
Hulk?
Yeah, totally.
That would be cool.
Except it's not mine, so... Yeah, I can't do it.
I know, but I don't care. I know you took it out of my closet. It's totally fine. I wasn't going to tell anyone.
So, Lynn.
Hi, Lynn. So, Lynn is doing a lot of work for kids.
Yeah.
And she's going to start a couple, I don't want to steal her thunder from her blog, but she's going to start a couple programs that are targeted at getting software resources to younger audiences, such as kids.
Yeah, so we had done some stuff on mcn.com/beginner, which is like our kids corner, and there was a bunch of stuff.
Oh, I didn't know that one.
For C# for kids, VB for very bright kids.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, like the works, and Jacqueline Russell, who had built at the Beginner Developer Learning Center, worked with Lynn to do some stuff around DigiKids.
Oh, yeah.
So,
DigiGirls.
DigiGirls, yes.
Yep.
And one other kids conference that I can't remember. But anyways, so the point is there's a lot of good stuff. mcn.com/beginner if you're trying to get your kids to start coding.
Oh, nice. And I liked how you said, I'm a VB girl. I like how you said C-sharp for kids and VB for really bright kids.
Actually, I think it was C-sharp for sharp kids and VB for very bright kids.
I was going to say, like, you
know. We're trying to have parity.
All right, we equality for languages. That's fine.
Yeah, exactly. It's BB. Like, what's better, French or English?
BB.
English.
No, French. Je suis pauvre.
Okay,
so
picks of the week. Very exciting.
I'm really excited to talk about my pick of the week.
And this is you in costume, by the way, in that
yes,
corner.
That's me.
This is you
with
paramilitary.
That's right. Actually, that was me doing my tour of duty. Yeah. Actually, you know. What do you think I'm going to Dubai? I'm a spy now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You probably really don't want to say that on the internet, but okay.
Oh, no, I'm not a spy. we're taping this?
We're taping
this. I thought this was the dry run.
We do it live.
Damn. All right, so So this is my pick of the week, and it's promoting Dave Itzbitsky and a recent video that he did on Channel 9, and it's really cool. He takes a netbook. You know those little netbooks? You've seen them? The little
300 tiny... bucks, 500 bucks really? For a great one.
Can you develop on a netbook? Like hardcore develop?
Yeah. Can you install Visual Studio 2010? That's what I want to know.
Dave will tell you it all. Yeah, not only a good friend of mine, but a colleague. He's an evangelist out east, and he actually... he's using a netbook as his primary development machine and running Visual Studio 2010, 2008.
Does it crawl? Or does he show you how to not make it crawl?
Watch the video.
All right.
Watch the video. Right. Yeah, that's my pick.
All right. My pick of the week
Is that kidney beans?
I got a case of the Mondays. Okay. It is a Halloween episode. And by the time you see this, the Channel 9 Halloween episode will be... filmed, but kudos to Laura for building this.
Hi, yeah. Laura.
Yeah, so if you want some Halloween fun, definitely check out our video.
So, what happened, though? What happened this day that you look so...
I am wearing makeup in case everybody says, man, that guy looks terrible, man. He needs to get some sleep. Anyways, that is our show.
That's a wrap.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really happy that you invited me.
Yes, and we'll see you next time.